Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the campus of Tappet Brothers University, or old TPU, as we call it, during orientation week for the upcoming fall semester.
You know, in other schools, orientation is a bunch of baloney.
Oh, it's a waste of time.
But here, it's not a waste of time. We start right at orientation teaching mechanics useful concepts like, you know, the difference between bring and take. How many mechanics know that?
Left and right, up and down, all those important things.
Important stuff.
Are we certified to teach that bring and take thing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, all right, it's enough of that. If you got any mail, I know you're dying to read something.
I have a letter here from Tom Kinsman from Fort Thomas, Kentucky. He wrote to take us to task for two things, but the second thing is more interesting. I don't actually remember this, but I guess one of us, probably you,
I don't think
made
so.
Some derogatory remarks about art history and English majors.
Oh, yeah, that was me. Uh-oh.
I must, however, take Tom to task on one issue. The bone of contention is Tom's stand that the world does not need any more art history majors and English majors. Ooh. Though he did cut some slack for the English majors. I can't honestly remember what I said, but I do vaguely remember this. I disagree. I think we need a lot more. After all, when art history and English majors don't get jobs, what do they do besides teach, I ask you?
Right.
I remember saying that. I said all they can do is teach. We don't need any more teachers because we got enough bad ones already. What they do is they open card and gift shops, florist shops, and those coffee houses that Tom likes so much. Think about it. Who do you want to sit down and drink coffee with? An accountant? A stockbroker? An engineer? Au contraire, you want an English major or an art history major or someone like that.
Someone with culture.
Someone with culture.
Exactly.
Ask yourselves, do we really need more scientists and engineers to invent things that we don't need and we don't understand and that usually don't work anyway? Do we need more accountants and lawyers? Certainly not lawyers. Would you want to drink coffee and discuss the world with a computer scientist? What's more, do you ever find violent art historians and English majors? Oh, there's an interesting
point. Rarely.
But that cause and effect there is a little bit
twisted.
When they get mad, they just go drink coffee and debate the state of the universe and humanity. If we had a world filled with these people, we might actually have universal peace. So-called progress might grind to a halt, but so what? Enough said. Don Kinsman.
Indeed. Woof. Very, very good, Don.
Eloquently done.
Eloquently shut my brother up.
I like it.
If you would like to call us, our number is, as always, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Becky, and I'm calling from Northfield, Minnesota.
Hi, Becky.
Becky!
It sounds like there are geese in the studio, I think.
Northfield, Minnesota.
Correct.
Becky's a
nice
name.
Is that near Bemidji?
No, it's 35 miles south of Minneapolis.
Oh, do you know where Bemidji is?
I do.
How would you know that? is Bemidji like a famous place?
Not a famous place, but it's well known.
It's well known.
It has a big lake there and stuff.
Ah, yeah.
Ah, it's got a lake.
Okay. Well, yeah, Minnesota's like 10,000 lakes. I mean,
yeah, every city has a lake.
So anyway, what's going on, Becky?
Well, I have a 97 Geo Prism, and ever since I've gotten it, there's been this weird kind of film that forms on the inside of the windshield.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a greasy, clear film, and you can wipe it out, but it always comes back.
See, now, if you smoke cigars...
wouldn't notice this.
Another goose just landed.
Yeah.
But I should start smoking cigars.
If you smoke cigars, you wouldn't notice this, and you would Wait a minute, Becky.
We're having a little technical difficulty in the studio. Oh, he's got the remote.
I don't know if you listen every week, Becky, but a few weeks ago, we were commenting on how women... All right, already. How women don't engage in practical jokes to the extent that men do.
Okay.
And we were then flooded with a bunch of practical joke items, one of which I'm holding in my hand. And this is a remote fart machine. And, you know, this is the 21st century version of the whoopee cushion. The whoopee cushion was all right, but this thing...
You had to sit on it.
You had to sit on it. This thing was when we came in, was glued to the underside of the table. And as luck would have it, when I sat down, the glue let go and it fell on the floor. They were hoping to surprise both of us with it, but as luck would have it, I was in on it and Tommy wasn't. And I'm sure all the 9-year-olds listening are going to love it. So we'll just leave it here, and Doug Mayer can press the transmitter button whenever
he
thinks
feels
it's
like
appropriate.
Okay.
So anyway, as I was saying,
if you smoke cigars.
If you were a cigar smoker, this would be incidental film on the inside of the window because you would have all this cigar smoke. But now that nobody smokes anymore, we're witness to the fact that all this stuff coming, getting onto our windows is coming from some other source.
Okay.
And it's coming from the plastic.
The plastic.
What it does is it sublimates, comes out of the plastic, and floats around inside the car.
Yeah, from the dashboard, from the seats.
How often do you have to clean it?
Once a week. It comes every day, though. I mean,
you don't leave the windows ever open, do you?
No.
You should.
I have allergies.
Allergies to what?
Everything.
Oh, that's too bad.
That's bad, but yeah, I think, oh, geez.
We mentioned this maybe, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and we commented in our usual erudite, uninformed way. We said, it's probably a bunch of carcinogens, and it's killing us all.
Oh, yeah.
That's good to know.
And I think, I mean, again, in my uninformed way, I remember seeing a study by some doctor somewhere. I never remember details. And the study said, indeed, it is carcinogens.
Okay.
So it's not a good thing to have, especially, I mean, if you're...
Yeah, this was one doctor.
One doctor somewhere in Bemidji.
Oh, what did he know?
I don't know where he was from. But yeah, the study indicated that, yes, in fact, all of these things are coming out of the plastic that's in the dashboard. And... nobody wants to talk about it.
Allergies or not, you got to open the windows, Becky.
You have to open the windows.
Better to breathe in some, some alfalfa dust than to breathe this stuff. At least that's natural.
Okay.
It may be that this is exacerbating your allergies.
It could well be.
How do you know that?
See, now we're going to do some little medical advice here. Sure, yeah, we're going to get ourselves deeper and deeper.
Yeah. How's your vision?
My vision's perfect.
Is your memory going?
A little bit.
How's your hearing?
What?
I said, how's your hearing?
Oh, no, it's good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some cars have this worse than others, but every car that I've driven in recently, I mean recently meaning the last 20 years, well, I think now is the time to bring back, because of the recent arrival of the airbag.
The solid steel
the metal
dashboard
of our youths.
Youths.
you're probably not old enough, but we remember when we were kids that all dashboards were made out of steel.
Yeah, so when you hit your head on that dashboard,
there
man,
were no survivors. No one,
no one no sued anybody.
No EMTs rushing to the scene to save your life. You were a goner. Yeah, but now we can go back to the metal dashboards because we have...
We have airbags. Have seatbelts.
Exactly.
Why do we need plastic up there?
Bring the metal. Oh, we can make them out of something else. Cardboard.
Cardboard.
We don't need a dashboard at all.
Hang the instruments on strings. I don't know. Anyway, Becky, my advice would be to leave the windows open.
Okay.
As much as you can, especially when you're not in the car.
Okay.
Let that stuff escape.
All right.
And cover the dashboard with fur.
Fur! Fur's good.
Fur, okay.
See you, Becky.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll have those people on our case. 888, oh, faux fur, of course. 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255.
Who was that guy? His name was.
55.
His name was Diogo.
Yes.
He had his car. He happened to be going through Mexico. Who knows what he was doing?
Yeah, from Guatemala.
From Guatemala. And he said he couldn't resist. And he had some guy in the street cover his entire dashboard with fur. And I mean, the dashboard.
The seats. The rearview mirror.
The steering wheel.
Yeah.
Everything.
It was beautiful.
He said, I couldn't resist.
$20, how could you resist?
Diogo Texera.
You got it. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chip from San Jose.
Chip Chipperoo, yes.
Everybody calls me Chipperoo. Jesus.
What the hell do you expect with a name like Chip? What's your real name?
Lewis.
Lewis, that's a wonderful name. That's my father's name.
Oh, really?
No kidding.
Name too. That's why I don't use it.
It's my father's name, too. There's three of us.
Get out. Your name is Louis, L-O-U-I-S.
L-O-U-I-S. Yeah, if you want to be French about it, but I'm not French, so.
Well, neither are we, but that was...
So, how'd you get the name Chip?
It's you know, the chip off the old block thing, right? Because my father's got the same name I do, so to avoid confusion.
Yeah. And so you don't like Chip-Chip-Chipperoo?
Guess not, huh?
I must have known some of my buddies from, like, elementary school or something.
Yeah.
So how long have you been known as Chip?
All my life.
All your life? No, not yet.
Life, yeah. And I used to design computer chips.
Really?
Yeah.
Chip the Chip Man.
And now I work with wood chips, so you know, I do all sorts of different
things. See that? This name has sort of taken
it
control of your
career,
life.
Molded your life.
It's interesting.
It really is.
Paint chips, potato chips. Think of all the careers you have ahead of you.
Well, I hope I find one that makes me some money.
Buffalo chips might be, there might be money in that. Anyway, what's up, Chip?
Well, I've got this big white Grumman Olsen truck. It's actually a Chevy truck underneath, and it's got a 350 engine in it, okay?
Yeah.
And I've driven it quite a bit. In fact, I've put about, 40 or 50,000 miles on it. And it's gone through an exhaust manifold, and I was kind of wondering why it burned up an exhaust manifold. And then I was driving down the road at nighttime and happened to check the oil, and after the engine was really hot.
And you found it glowing.
And it was glowing.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, my God, is this thing going to burn up? And, you know, when it took out the exhaust manifold, it took out the starter. I mean, it just made an awful mess. There was, you know.
What was actually glowing? One of the manifolds?
Well, one of the manifolds, actually, it was on the right-hand side as I'm looking forward.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the manifolds actually burned up, and it just melted a hole right through the bottom of it.
Yeah, that happened.
Molten metal pouring over your starter. That's not good.
Well,
for
actually, it wasn't the molten metal. It was the. I mean, it didn't really melt.
Yeah, it made a hole, and the hot exhaust gases.
And little kind of cubes of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it burned right into the starter. I mean, it had this hot gases burning into the starter, and it didn't start. And that's how I found out about the whole problem.
But you didn't hear the exhaust. You didn't hear the.
Oh,
exhaust
I knew I had an exhaust leak. In fact, I knew I had an exhaust leak, and I knew it was the exhaust manifold. And I was in Denver at the time, and I actually went to a junkyard and picked one up. And it wasn't until I got to Laramie when I discovered that the car didn't start when I checked into a hotel and then came back out.
What the hell are you doing driving a mail truck from Denver to Laramie?
Well, I do these shows, these woodworking shows all across the country, and I stop from place to place, and I've got this big truck, and it only weighs 10,000 GVW. So I can put 3,800 pounds worth of stuff, and I don't have to fall under DOT rules, so I don't have to keep a trucker's log and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. So what do? Sell, like, shopsmiths or something?
No. It's a product, an invention of mine. It's called a lever clamp. It's a woodworking clamp thing.
No kidding. You're going to send us one for free?
If you want one, I'll send you one.
My brother is an avid woodworker, you know.
Oh, is he really?
He is, and I'm sure he would love to get something for nothing.
Well, I would be happy to.
Other than a T-shirt. My brother and I each, I had to put an addition on my house for all the free T-shirts that I've gotten.
Right.
So,
but a lever clamp. It's not every day you get a lever clamp.
No, not every day.
No, it's not. It's kind of unique. It's a neat thing, and sure, I'd be happy to send you one.
I'm only kidding. I don't want one. I'll buy one.
Oh, you will?
Well, if they're $3.
We'll come right up.
So anyway.
What's the question? Why did the manifold fry?
I've taken this, and the people said, oh, your fuel mixture is fine, and everything seems to be okay. You know, I don't know. Is it a little 350 engine? I'm just working too hard, or is this a normal pro? Is this a normal thing that the exhaust actually glows?
Yeah, they all do. They all do that.
No,
it should not glow.
It shouldn't glow. You may be working the engine too hard, but if that were the case, it would be overheating.
Right.
You have a temperature gauge on the dash.
Yeah. Well, the temperature gauge never gets above a certain point. Now it's either stuck.
Maybe factory set. I had one like that. It was factory set. No, my guess is. That the timing is too retarded.
Hmm.
Now, they probably checked that, but I bet you they haven't. They say they've checked it.
Well, they did check it. I took it in, and they gave it a complete diagnostic, and I watched them, and, you know, would a vacuum leak cause something like that?
You know? No, it isn't a vacuum leak. If you had a vacuum leak, it wouldn't cause that.
Okay.
What you have is timing that's too retarded, and the combustion is taking place not in the cylinders.
Uh-huh.
Rather, it's taking place in the exhaust manifold.
Maybe that's why this thing can't get out of its own way.
And that's why it has no power.
There's another problem. That would be a symptom of retarded timing. You'd have low power.
Yeah, could
so
be.
If they may be checking the timing, and maybe the timing is right at idle, but it's not right at higher revs.
Interesting.
And well, that would certainly cause this.
More likely is that the centrifugal advance on the distributor doesn't work.
Mm.
That's more likely
to be. It's a centrifugal advance, not a vacuum.
It has both.
It has both.
If it either has both, or it has a centrifugal, or it has neither.
Okay, well, it's a 350.
But if you go someplace, this is an engine that everybody understands.
Right.
The 350 engine. So you can actually
Except
check
the jerks you have that are working on it.
You can have them check the timing at all different RPMs because there's a specification for what the timing should be at different RPMs.
Okay.
And I'll bet you that when you get up above 1,000 or 1,500 RPM, it's way off.
I see.
No, have them check the timing. That may fix it.
I will.
That may fix it. If it doesn't, then get a bigger engine.
That sounds good.
Great.
See you, Lou.
Nice talking to you, Lewis.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Chip-a-roo.
Well, although you should be savoring every moment of the beginning of the end of summer. Boy, that's a lugubrious thought, isn't it?
It is.
You are instead listening
it's
to
sad
us.
Sad, too.
Click and Clack, known at the Leaf and Bean as the Tipperillo Brothers. We'll have more of your calls in the second half of Car Talk, so don't touch that dial, because if you do, the business end of your dipstick may fall off. We'll be back in a minute.
Daddy said you were trash. I had to spend my own cash. He said that you were no good. Never get under your hood. I dreamed of rides in the park and moonlit drives in the dark. You left me stranded at home, pathetic, crying alone. Ooh, you think you know a car. Ooh, you think you own a car. Ooh, hope it'll take you far. Ooh, you think you know a car. Never thought I'd say it, but you're less than nothing to me. The quicker
And even though dogs bury their masters' radios in their backyards whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This is Elise Spiegel from Invisibilia, and guess what? We just launched a fall season where we're trying new things. Monthly stories that are a little bit shorter, feature new voices and new kinds of storytelling and sound. Our first fall story is about a man and the thing that he loves most, which is a giant plastic elephant. You should definitely tune in.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the sad state of education today.
Right. This is a little note from Ken Stein from Berkeley, California, who says, "Bet you can't read The World According to Student Bloopers without laughing." And he was right, man. This is something put together by some guy named Richard Lederer. It says, "One of the fringe benefits of being an English or history teacher is receiving the occasional jewel of a student blooper. In an essay, I've pasted together the following history of the world from genuine student bloopers collected by teachers throughout the United States, from the 8th grade through college. Read carefully and you will learn a lot." I'll just pick out a few quick paragraphs.
Go ahead, I can't wait.
These are essays that students have written. "The inhabitants of ancient Egypt were called mummies. They lived in the Sahara Desert and traveled by Camelot. The climate of the Sahara is such that the inhabitants have to live elsewhere. So certain areas of the desert are cultivated by irritation. The Egyptians built the pyramids in the shape of a huge triangular cube. The huge triangular cube. The pyramids are a range of mountains between France and Spain. Pharaoh forced the Hebrew slaves..." I skipped a paragraph here. "Pharaoh forced the Hebrew slaves to make bread without straw. Moses led them to the Red Sea, where they made unleavened bread, which is bread made without any ingredients." I can see it all now. You see why people don't want to teach anymore. Afterwards, Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. David was a Hebrew king skilled at playing the lyre. He fought with the philatelists, a race of people who lived in biblical times. Solomon, one of David's sons, had 500 wives and 500 porcupines. 500 porcupines. I'll give you one more, the Renaissance. The Renaissance was an age in which more individuals felt the value of the human being. Martin Luther was nailed to the church door at Wittenberg for selling papal indulgences. He died a horrible death being excommunicated by a bull. It was the painter Donatello's interest in the female nude that made him the father of the Renaissance. It was an age of great inventions and discoveries. For example, Gutenberg invented the Bible. And Sir Walter Raleigh is a historical figure because he invented cigarettes. And this is two pages of this stuff put together by Richard Lederer. It is sad, isn't it? I mean, if you spent...
Well, it'd be particularly sad if those essays were written by college students.
If you spent your life trying to teach those little twerps something, and they came back and wrote you crap like this.
Well, not all of them,
just
a few.
Isn't this enough to hang yourself?
It is funny, though.
It's funny. I will read a paragraph every week.
Good.
Until they're gone.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary Ann from Salisbury, North Carolina.
Hi, Mary Ann. Hi. How are you today?
I'm just fine. How are you?
We're fine. We're fine as well. So what's going on?
Well, I have a 99 Buick Park Avenue that I love.
Oh.
But it has a little problem with the air conditioning. The temperature on the passenger side is just wonderful. It's cool and calm and everything. But on the driver's side, it's blowing like ambient temperature air. It's almost like it's two different units.
Well, you need a driver.
Right.
Well, that would be lovely. Would you come down and be my driver?
No.
Well, you know what would work, too, if you didn't want to fix this? A piece of cardboard that could deflect that air right over to you.
Well, that's what I've been doing.
Well, there you go.
But it doesn't work all that well.
No, it's not great.
Well, some of the, this does not have, it has climate control, obviously, but it doesn't have dual temperature controls, does it?
Yes, it does.
Oh, the one for the driver's side isn't working.
That's the problem.
Is there one for the driver's side?
Well, there is, because you set the temperature as the driver. You turn the thing on, you set the temperature.
Right.
The passenger can now set his or her own temperature to be different from yours.
Correct.
So you set the thing at low, which is like 60.
Right.
Okay? And then the passenger can decide, well, I don't want 60, I want 67.
Yeah, but it's 60 on the passenger side and like 70 on the driver's side.
Yeah, I know, because the driver's side one isn't working.
Oh, okay. How do I fix that?
Yeah. Cardboard.
Well, you
may need to replace the whole control unit. I don't know how. Yeah, you may need to replace the whole gizmo.
Oh dear.
You're gonna have to. You haven't taken it to anyone, have you?
No, I haven't.
You need to do that, Marianne.
Yeah.
You first of all, you don't sound old enough to be driving this car.
I'm way old.
You're not way old.
You don't sound it, though.
No.
Well, thank you, but I'm way old.
Have you been notified by AARP?
Yes, I've so been notified by
AARP. Then you're old enough to drive this. All right. All right. Never mind. You just sound very young.
Thank you.
But so you need to take it someplace, and just to be on the safe side, stock up on cardboard boxes.
Okay.
See you later.
All right, thanks.
Good luck.
Bye.
Oh, boy. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Matt from Orlando, Florida calling.
Hey, Matt.
Orlando.
What's going on, man?
Well, I've got a problem here that I need expert advice on. I've been getting advice from all sorts of different sources, so I thought I'd come to the experts here.
You have come to the right place.
I drive a lot in my job. I put on about 108,000 miles a year.
What?
I do.
How can you even be in a car that long?
Boy, your butt must be killing you.
No kidding.
And I'm looking for the perfect car. Right now, I'm driving a Nissan Sentra, and that's not the perfect car.
Oh, man. How old are you?
44.
And what do you do that requires 108,000 miles a year of driving?
Well, what I do for a living is, I guess, a little bit unusual. I look at bad floors for people.
Bad floors?
I'm an expert in the floor covering industry, and if someone has a flooring installed and there's problems with it...
So you work for, like, Mannington or one of those companies?
Exactly. As a, you know, not in their employ, I'm an independent contractor.
Oh, I see.
I work for a number of manufacturers.
See, here's the problem. You work in an area where there are too many single-story dwellings. You need to work in New York City. You could kill, like, 8 or 10 clients in one building. Just take the elevator. You park, and that's it.
Yeah.
You got a point there, but here I am nonetheless.
Nonetheless, and you're looking to you're trying to save your sacroiliac by getting rid of the Sentra.
Well, I've got four different variables. I need, obviously, good gas mileage.
Right.
I need dependability. It's got to be comfortable, and it has to be relatively affordable. And all of those are mutually exclusive.
Almost. Let's see.
So what's the most important one?
Well, actually, the most important one to me would be dependability, reliability.
Right.
That's the most important. Sure.
Okay. I can't get caught 300 miles from home, you know, with a broken car.
No. We can always sleep on somebody's floor.
But, I mean, how old is the Sentra?
Well,
2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, how often do you buy a car now? Like, what? Twice a year?
Just over 2.5 years old. It has 278,995 miles on it.
And it's been a good car, a good little car.
Boy, that's pretty impressive.
The engine actually is in very good shape. You know, you end up replacing silly things like distributors. I'm on my third distributor. I'm on my third catalytic converter.
Yeah.
I'm on my second sun visor.
Yeah. You're probably flipping. Well, in that hot Florida sun, that's a sun visor's the first to go.
Sun visor, yeah.
Jeez. Really?
Well,
wow.
The car I'd have to recommend, I mean, just off the top of my head,
sure,
would be a Toyota Camry.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
A four-cylinder Camry. You needn't get anything bigger than that.
And it satisfies every single one of your criteria.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the safest car, certainly, but it's the safest car that you can get that meets the other three criteria.
Right. And the miles per gallon is not fabulous, but it's respectable.
Yeah.
Now, the other car that I'd recommend is the Honda Accord. Same thing, four-cylinder.
Now, my wife was suggesting a diesel Volkswagen.
No. It fails on,
fails
dependable.
On comfort.
Comfort and those two.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's out.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I calculate that you're in the car 4, 5, 6 hours a day.
More.
I leave at 7 in the morning, get back usually at 7 at night, and doing about maybe 6 to 10 stops at 20 minutes apiece. So, yeah, you're about right.
Man.
Oh, man.
How long? You've been doing this for a while, too.
Several years.
Are they paying you great, or does someone have something on you?
the pay is good. I like to drive. I always have.
Evidently.
Well, that's good.
You know, if I had to do this, you know what car I would have? The mileage would mean nothing to me.
A Lincoln Town car.
You got it. 9 miles to the gallon. I wouldn't care, man. I want a Lincoln Town car. Yeah. That would be my recommendation.
Right. Well,
Are you kidding?
It fits all the criteria.
Okay.
And you know what? The Lincoln Town Car probably doesn't get much worse mileage than the Camry.
Really?
Speaking from the Tuchus, you can't beat the Town Car.
Yeah.
Well, if
and
I get tired, I could pull off the side of the road and go to sleep in the back.
And I would strongly consider it.
Look at how much money you'll save on motels.
There you go.
Good luck, man.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow.
108,000 miles a year.
Well, hey,
someone's going to do it.
He was laughing, wasn't he?
He was laughing.
He loves it.
Yeah, you know why?
Yeah.
The gas from the fumes of the dashboard. Imagine what's going on in his brain.
And you know he's not arguing with his wife all day because he never sees her.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, he's a happy guy. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Mark from Richmond, Virginia calling.
Hi, Mark.
Thanks for calling us, gentlemen.
Listen, I agree with you guys. Matt needs to get a town car.
Oh, doesn't he?
His Tuchus has probably got calluses so deep.
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting in the car 5 hours a day.
How does he get up and walk upright after he's been sitting there?
Well, I'll tell you, the most comfortable vehicle I ever drove in my life was... It wasn't comfortable from the standpoint that it handled well. I'm just talking about the seat.
Yeah.
Was a Mark III conversion van that we drove out west several, many, maybe about 10 years ago or so. This thing had the most amazing seat. There were days when I was in that seat for 10 hours.
Well, I think it was a Lazy Boy, wasn't it?
It was a Lazy Boy.
You could recline while you were driving and everything else.
Oh, it was great. You'd nod off, you wouldn't even know it. 200 miles would go by just like that. So maybe he should get a Mark III. Anyway, what's going on, Mark?
I recently purchased a 2002 GMC Envoy. Nice, nice vehicle. However, as you probably know, the gas mileage is horrendous.
What is the gas mileage?
19.
Yeah, I'm getting, you ready for this? 12 to 13 around town and about 15 or 16 on the highway.
Yeah. You should have bought an Excursion.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you guys, and that's one of the... I've got a two-part question, is that I was looking into some of these aftermarket products, and I think they're a scam.
They are.
You mean the pellets?
there's the Vornado.
The Crap-a-Chip.
The Crap-a-Chip, right.
Yeah, but you're going to try them all, Mark. I mean, they're all, what are they, $29.95 a piece? I think the Vornado I would try first.
Okay.
And, isn't it a disappointment... What is he getting, 16 miles to the gallon?
That's it.
That's the best.
That's the best.
Jeez.
Yeah,
well, what do you expect? I mean, why did you buy this in the first place?
Well, ironically, I bought a boat, and I needed something to tow the boat with.
How big is the boat?
The boat is 23 foot. It's weighing 6,000 pounds.
Jeez. You're just making it.
I'm just...
Don't bring your mother-in-law along. You won't be able to... No.
Amen, brother.
You're in trouble. why don't you learn to keep your mouth shut?
So you want to know if the additives work, and the answer is no, they don't.
They don't.
No,
I mean, for the most part, I mean, we've seen these things come and go for years and years, and we've seen everything from the pellets to the springs you put in the gas tank.
Don't forget the magnets.
The magnets.
Right.
The magnets are supposed to reorient the gasoline molecules.
The radioactive thallium. I mean, we've seen it all, man. And all of these things, either you strap on the fuel line, you sling underneath the thing, you put on the roof, you put the antennas on, you add to the gas tank. You put this stuff, no matter what you do.
But, when they do the infomercials,
yeah,
the rationale for why it should work is always impeccable.
It is.
I mean, I know the Tornado, Vornado thing.
Yeah.
They say things like, it works for jet engines, why shouldn't it work for your gasoline engine?
Well, maybe because it's a completely different engine.
Right.
Well, you're getting 16 miles to the gallon, but that's with the boat on it, right?
No, that's without the boat.
Oh, really?
Oh, you're in trouble. Well,
I hear this sucking sound when I've got the boat on the rear.
Yeah, well, no, you'd expect the mileage to go down considerably with the boat on. You may be driving it too hard or too fast.
Okay.
And it may be that a lot of these things count on when you buy one of these devices, whether it's the Vornado or the pellets or whatever, what they're counting on you to do so they can eventually get from you an unsolicited testimonial is to alter the way you drive because you want to get better mileage. So. And they'll give you a little pamphlet
and
that
says... And you want to believe that the thing works.
Right, because you don't want to believe that you're that stupid that you bought this thing.
You spent $29.95 for magnets. Magnets?
Right.
Come on.
We don't need no stinking magnets. So you buy this thing, and then you put it on. And, of course, it doesn't work. But if you adjust your driving habits a little bit, you stop idling the thing for long periods of time, you stop lead-footing it, you stop with the jackrabbit starts, you begin to drive instead of at 80, at 65. Next thing you know, you're getting 19 miles to the gallon, not because of the Vornado,
right,
but because you're driving it more sensibly.
Okay.
So you need to do that first. I think that's going to do more for you than all the things. But in the interest of science, I think you should buy one of each one of those things and let us know what works.
I mean, if you installed them all, they'd be taking gas out of your tank.
Good. Getting a gas credit back.
Good luck, man. You're going to need it.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There's a sucker born every day. I mean, I've bought all these things, too.
I know. You got them all.
Well, I don't buy any of the automotive things because I know that they're bogus, but I buy everything else.
Well, you have installed the magnets on a car of yours.
Yes, I have.
Did it work?
Well, it's still running. Okay, Tommy, I think it's time for a little station break.
Ah, is this another one of our patented mid-show scissors, as they say?
Yes, it is.
You mean we're going to show them how it's done?
Yes, we are.
I mean we're going to show them how the big boys goof off?
That's right.
We're going to lose our jobs, aren't we?
Yeah, any day now.
We'll be back with information about how you can get your puzzle fixed this week in just a minute.
Well, I'm driving down the road in my beat-up Ford. I got a plastic Jesus on my dashboard. I'm going real fast and using lots of gas. There's a guy behind me actually wants to pass. So I put my foot to that accelerator. It's like, hey, man, I'll see you later, because I'm a cool guy with a car. Well, I pull up at a light and this same fella wants to race me. So I get an early start because I don't want him to waste me. He thinks he's real tough in his 280Z, but I blow him away in my LTD. And as I cruise down that lonesome highway, there's a recurring thought that I just gotta say that I'm a cool guy with a car.
And even though Irish eyes stop smiling whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Take a deeper dive into the art, lives, and legacies of Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, and the women who played a vital role in inventing American popular music.
I'll be seeing you.
Watch videos, read essays, and hear the full Turning the Tables playlist at npr.org/turningthetables.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the used puzzler. Now, as both of our listeners know, every summer the puzzler goes where?
A vacanza,
as they say in Italia. Yes. But we know from your calls and letters that this is a very difficult time.
Withdrawal.
For both of you.
It's withdrawal.
Some folks just can't seem to go a week without a Car Talk puzzle, so for you, we have what?
Electroshock therapy? Padded room?
No. For you, we have our classic puzzler archive. Ooh. Every week that the puzzler is on vacation, we'll post a classic Car Talk puzzler on our website. So if you're bored at work or bored with your chat group, just head to cartalk.com, and every week you'll find a new used puzzler there. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-822-7777-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Sarah, with an H.
Yes, how are you today?
Sarah, how did you say it? You said it differently.
I said Sarah.
Oh, Sarah.
I thought you did.
Sarah.
It has an I in it, but it also has an H.
Oh, so I was right. S-I-R-A-H?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very nice name, Sarah.
Thanks.
I like it.
Sarah. I would have pronounced it Sarah.
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 I get all sorts of renditions. Sarah, Saria, all sorts of things.
Did you already tell us where you're from? I was
on Washington, D.C., and she's not a politician or an attorney. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay, then what's up?
I have a question regarding my 93 Honda Civic, and the question is about the clutch master cylinder. Every time I take it into a dealership, they tell me, you've got to change the clutch master cylinder. I haven't because of the expense and things, and a friend of mine told me, just go ahead and put brake oil in it and you'll be fine, and I haven't had any problems driving it, changing gears, just braking, nothing. And so I'm wondering, do I really need to change it? Is this a dealership ploy just to make me spend more money?
Do you frequently add brake fluid to it?
No, not very frequently. Every couple of months, I would say.
Ah. So they're telling you should replace it because they see the leak.
Right.
And you say, well, so what? It's leaking. I'll fill it up again.
What are your plans for this car? I mean, let's get right to it. I mean, why fool around? I mean, are we looking at a six-month horizon, or are you looking at keeping this car for 3, 4, 5 years?
Well, I don't think that long. Maybe a couple years. Maybe like 2 years, max. A
couple of years. And how often do you drive it?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
I think you're doing exactly the right thing.
Okay.
Well, here's what's going to happen.
Come on.
You've obviously chosen to ignore advice of counsel.
Well, this is the dealership, which I don't always trust.
But what are you doing?
Wait a minute.
I'm in the process of badgering the witness.
Wait a minute. Every time you go to Richie Brown, he says to you, you got to do something about those whatevers. Gums.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Richie Brown is our dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you go see Richie Bonney, he says, yeah, you got to do something about those gums.
Right.
Now, how many times...
He also says you should do something about your face while you're at it. But I've disregarded yeah. that advice
but regarding
over 30 years.
Regarding the gums, you've been going to Richie for 30 years, and he's been telling you this for 25 years. So how many times have you had it done?
Well, none, but... Bad gums are not going to leave me stuck someplace.
Yeah, this is not going to leave her stuck.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is your clutch master cylinder is going to fail, and you won't be able to shift the car.
She carries a can of brake fluid on the front seat of her car.
And you know what's going to happen when it does fail? You're going to be
the
able,
can's
in Washington,
gonna be
D.C.? You're going to be in East Boondocks, North Carolina, and you're going to reach for that can of brake fluid, it's going to be empty.
Oh, Lord.
And you're going to be stuck.
And well, even then she's
and
not
the
stuck.
Giant cats are going to get you.
No, she's going to put it in third gear when the engine is turned off, and she's going to drive all the way back to Washington, D.C.
Well, you could, I suppose, but there's no... There's, you're going to have to replace it eventually. It's not going to last 2 years.
Okay.
So why...
Take a chance.
Why? Well, furthermore, why replace it after a year and a half and only enjoy the freedom it gives you for six lousy months?
Yeah.
Where you can replace it today and make your mechanic happy. He'll be able to make his boat payment on time.
That's not my goal.
Well, I know, but,
it's got
but, think,
to do
but
with
think of
Syrah.
The greater good. Don't
That's
be selfish.
True.
Now, this way she gets to open the hood once in a while. If the engine's missing, she'll notice.
You'll do what you think is best. I give up.
No, I agree. If it's, you know, 2 years, if you say it's going to give me trouble, you're right. I should change
yeah,
it.
It's not going to last 2 years, and you should change it, because even though you could drive the thing home without a clutch, it would be a drag. And why worry about it? It's obvious that you're concerned about it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have called us.
That's correct.
So why worry about it for the next 2 years? Fix this and you can worry about all the other things that are wrong with the car.
That's true. All the other things that are wrong with Washington, D.C.
Exactly. Good luck and thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you, Syrah.
Pay no attention to him, Syrah.
Bye. Oh, Syrah. I'm sorry.
Syrah.
I like Syrah. You planted a
I planted
seed.
It. Yeah, I know.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lars calling from San Francisco.
Lars. What's up, man?
I've got an 89 Volkswagen GTI. Lately, there's been this strange sound coming from the front of the car. It's this roaring sound. It's present at all speeds, but it's more noticeable after having been on the highway for a while.
Uh-huh.
And what it sounds most like is actually the kind of sound that you hear when someone's put huge tires on a pickup truck, the kind with the huge knobby treads.
Oh, that...
Yeah, when it goes down the highway and it makes that roar.
Yeah.
And it makes this noise while you're going down the highway or
yeah,
it, other it, times?
It's kind of subtle if I'm just tooling around town, but if I go out on the highway for about 30 minutes or so at high speed and then pull off and then I'm driving around at slow speed, then it's more noticeable.
And does it change pitch as you speed up or slow down?
Yeah, it's completely dependent on car speed, not the engine speed.
So it'll change pitch.
Not yeah. pitch, but intensity.
I mean,
pitch.
Will it go from whoo to whoo?
Exactly.
Whoo. It does.
Yeah.
That was a perfect fifth. I mean, I just drank a whole fifth.
I had a perfect fifth myself. Well,
So it does change pitch, and it does change intensity also.
Yeah, the pitch changes depending on speed, and if I've been driving for quite a while at a high speed on the highway, then the intensity goes up.
Now, I'm going to suggest...
Oh, if you have been, the intensity goes up even after you slow down?
Yeah, then it's more noticeable.
Get out.
Really?
Okay. 888-227-825. If you'd like to call us and get rid of Lars, that's the number.
Now, here's a big question. Can you change it? For example, if you were on the highway, I don't recommend you do this, but if you were doing the slalom, you know, so you were in the middle lane and you veered over slowly to the left, or even quickly to the left, and then back to the right, and then back to the left. So you were doing, if somebody were to draw it, you would be doing a big sine wave down the highway. Does it change if you do that, or have you noticed that it changes on turns?
It doesn't change on turns.
Oh, that's not the right answer.
I know.
So if you make a right-hand turn, you don't notice it getting worse.
No. And I've really been listening for that because for a while I thought maybe it had something to do with the CV joints. But
Well, you're close.
Close, yeah.
You're close.
So if you come off an exit ramp, you don't notice any difference in the sound, except for the fact that you've slowed down a little bit.
It's actually an exit ramp, so that I start
hearing it
right. A lot, because then the wind noise is gone and having been on the highway.
Does the car still have a top? Is there still a roof?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think, in fact, your last statement says a lot. In fact, you don't hear it at very high speed because it is getting drowned out by all the other noises that the car makes.
Right.
Not the least of which is the wind noise. But I'm pretty sure you have maybe not just one, but two bad wheel bearings.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. In the front.
Well, I'm caught between, I'm torn, I guess, between wheel bearings and tires.
Well, it could be tires. Peculiarly worn tires can make the same kind of noise that you think big tires would make, that woo, 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 woo. So if you can run your hand over the tires and the front ones feel very different from the back ones, mm-hmm. and they feel like they're scalloped, then in fact it could be the tires causing the noise. But the only thing that makes me lean toward wheel bearing is we replace a lot of wheel bearings in Volkswagens. They seem to go more than they do in other cars.
Well, I'm leaning more toward wheel bearings also.
I'm leaning more toward the wall myself, so I don't fall over. But I would suggest that you take it someplace and have them look at your tires. But on the lift, they can spin the wheels, and if they're as bad as I think they are,
they'll know.
They'll be like, geez. And you should do it soon, because if a wheel bearing is making noise for a long time, it could seize up.
Oh.
So I would have someone look at it right away.
That sounds a little too exciting. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck, Lars.
Thanks a lot for your advice.
Thanks for your call. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22, 788-2255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julie.
Hi, Julie. Where are you from?
I'm from Stamford, California.
So what's going on, Julie?
We have a 96 Ford Taurus LX, mm-hmm. and we were having a very bad car day last week. The Baba was in the shop getting its 65,000-mile, $3,000 tune-up.
And probably was $3,000.
A classic Volvo tune-up.
Yeah, so I had to drive my husband's beloved Ford Taurus. But I noticed something was wrong with it. Whenever I would slow down below 20 miles an hour or so, or hit a speed bump, the car would not go anymore. But it would try to go. It would go make funny noises, and like it was in neutral or something.
Oh, really?
Really.
And he's been driving this car pretty much every day and hadn't mentioned this to you, this little quirk?
No.
And when you mentioned it to him, did he say, "That's never happened to me"?
Yeah, that was the first thing he said, and then he admitted it.
He's a liar.
he admitted that it had happened to him.
Maybe once or twice. But he had tried to put in some transmission fluid, thinking it sounded like a transmission problem.
That's a great idea.
But that didn't make any difference.
Was it low on transmission fluid?
No, it did guzzle quite a bit.
Well, there's a dipstick in the transmission.
Oh, there is?
Uh-oh.
Well, how did he decide that it needed transmission fluid?
Because it didn't run out the top.
Oh,
did you see him actually put it in?
No, it was an unwitnessed event.
So you don't know where he actually put it in?
No, but now the low coolant light came on.
Oh, this guy's dangerous.
This is
what does he do for a living?
He's a casualty of the .com world. He's a research scientist. He, quote, works from home, unquote.
A research scientist. You know, in my experience, scientists know the least about cars. I don't know why
that
is. Or
about practical things in general.
Yeah, practical things. I mean, they can tell you how the sun works.
But they couldn't make a pop-up toaster work.
Man.
Yeah.
This car, does it have a lot of miles on it, the Taurus?
It has 107,355.
Oh, jeez, you did your homework.
Yeah. And we'd like to pass it on to our 14-year-old daughter who has her eye on it.
Never happened.
I'm not going to make it that long.
Unless you can move to a state where they hand out licenses at age 14 and a half.
But you need a transmission.
I think so.
A transmission rebuild, at least.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the transmission is, as we say in the trade, schwavotte.
It's cooked.
Oh, did I mention that my husband's not exactly gainfully employed?
You mentioned he was self-unemployed, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you employed?
Yes, I am.
Well, given that he's a research scientist, he's probably oblivious to all of the things, all the messages that the car has been sending him for the last 6 years. And so before I went and invested several thousand dollars, which is what it might cost you to rebuild the transmission.
Oh, good gosh.
Before I did that.
Well, Volvo guys charge you $3,000 for a tune-up.
I know. This is California. That's a lot of
They put
lot
in
of
four spark plugs.
Yeah. Five, probably.
So before I invested a couple of $1,000 in a transmission, I'd want to know that the rest of the car was in pretty decent shape.
Okay.
So I would bring it to a mechanic.
Or take it
Or
even.
Take it to a mechanic and have them check out everything.
Okay.
And let you know what's wrong with it. I mean, they may charge you $100 to do this.
Wow, they just charged us $1,000 to do that at the Ford dealership like a few weeks ago.
Jeez, I got to relocate.
I know.
So you had this thing at the Ford dealership, and they charged you $1,000, never said anything about the transmission.
Nope.
What did they charge you $1,000 for?
For the $100,000 tune-up? I figure it's just a percentage. I don't know.
Oh, you were in there for the 100,000-mile checkup.
Yeah. And I think they must replace a whole lot of stuff for that. I know they make more. I'm a doctor. They make more than I do. I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm a suspicious guy.
Yes.
And if they did the 100,000-mile checkup, there is some possibility that what the checkup includes is changing the automatic transmission fluid.
Uh-huh.
They could have screwed it up.
Uh-huh.
It would be worth looking into.
All right.
Good luck, Dr. Julie.
Hey, thanks, you guys.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly billable hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, Bongo Boy Bourbon. I haven't said that for a few weeks, and I missed it.
Sound good?
Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Tipperary, Loganberry, Horace Sherry, Stuffed Canary, Rainier Sherry, Bloody Mary, Ben & Jerry Confectionery, and Low-Fat Dairy Free Lunch Ferry, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted, of course, by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our table saw operator is Les Digits. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. Tom's beard cleaner is Emil in itself. Our Russian chauffeur is Beekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the double-parked deputy assistant deans in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1935. Subscribe to our weekly podcast and check out our Taste Challenge clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, are you looking for a good mechanic? Well, you could go down to the marina and see who has the biggest boat, or you can check out reviews of mechanics that other Car Talk listeners use and like at our mechanics files. You can search by zip code, specialty, or number of bunks in the guy's cabin cruiser. Check out the mechanics files anytime over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's president dives into his isolation tank whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.